Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in one. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. And we're glad to have you on this Taco Tuesday edition of Jeremy and Joe. This is going to be the last time that you and I do a show together this year.
It is.
Or this week as well.
It's true. Both those things are true.
We'll not have, is anything on the air on the 31st?
College football playoff games?
I meant locally.
Locally? No.
So college football, there's a college football playoff game on the 31st.
That's right. The other ones are on the 1st.
Look at me nitpicking.
Nope. Good correction. Good correction.
And then there's three games, there's triple header on the 1st.
You didn't even make it to 301 before you nitpicked.
That was quick, even on my own standards.
You know what?
That was a quick nitpick.
Last show we do together, I'm going to defend you here. It's not a nitpick, it was a correction.
It's kind of the same thing,
I guess.
I'm nitpicking your acceptance of my nitpick.
Yeah, see, now this is nitpick. Like, now we are. Now we've gone too far.
Yeah, it just comes naturally. I'm sorry. I apologize in advance.
No, you don't.
I do apologize in advance. It's not a great trait that I have, but it is. It's not one that I can shake at 40 years old, I don't think.
No.
I think I'm pod committed to the nitpick at this point.
I think you are, too.
Yeah. Is apologizing in advance and then just doing it anyway really an apology?
No, it comes, I didn't mean to do it.
I know, but if you like, you apologize in advance to give basically yourself an out because you're going to do it. Is that really an apology?
I'm more apologizing for how it comes across as me being a jerk.
Okay.
Because I'm still going to nitpick. I understand that's going to happen. Like, one, this isn't the line of work to be in if you're not going to nitpick. Like, I think this job comes with nitpicking naturally, right? Like, there's correlation there. I don't know why I'm doing this, but there's correlation there.
Say it, Brian. Say it.
Don't say it.
No.
Don't say
I'm
it.
I'm not.
Say it.
No.
There's correlation there. I lost my train of thought.
Correlation.
6-7.
Lost my train of thought. Monday Night Football, we'll get to that a little bit later. Do not ignore in victory, we win in defeat, which is a classic nitpick segment.
It's true.
The nitpickiest of segments, especially after the Texans have won 8 in a row, especially how they've won
it's always fun
11
to win.
Of their last 13 games. But hey, this is a good, maybe this could prevent our nitpicking, because a little bit later, we'll have Joe and Jeremy and Joe's New Year's resolutions, whether it's personal resolutions that we might have, whether it's the junkies that have resolutions for us.
Oh,
they might be like, hey, Branham, stop nitpicking, and I'll be like, you know what, I'll consider taking that into consideration, and then I'll probably tell you no. But today, maybe there's going to be a good idea. Maybe there's going to be, you know, if you can open it up for the junkies, New Year's resolutions for the show, we might get 1,000 bad ideas, but if we get one, it's all worth it.
One good idea.
It's all worth it.
We need one.
Just one. We'll do that later. Don't do that now. Don't spam. Cash number trash them a little bit later. We'll hand out some game balls. And because it is the last show that we're doing this week, we will do the fix.
We will.
Which we missed the fix yesterday, or last week.
We tried.
Yeah, not really.
I tried.
It wasn't very. You gave it your best effort.
I put it in the rundown.
Yeah, it just wasn't going to happen last week.
No, it was not.
It was one show last week. We were at Nick's place, which was a great time. Great time at Nick's place. Just weren't going to get to it. But we'll start with the Houston basketball that happened yesterday in this city. Wrong drop. Houston Cougars closing non-conference play against Middle Tennessee. 69-60 victory. They closed the non-conference with just the one loss. Head to Cincinnati on Saturday, where I will not be having Scalini chili. It's terrible. It's very bad. But your top three takes, as we do, I need a top three takes from you whenever the Houston Cougars play a basketball game. And they did yesterday. Game that they won. What are your three takeaways of said game,
Jim? I think they did a really great job taking advantage of the turnovers.
Yeah, they did. They did.
They forced 19. They got 30 points off of them.
Yeah. Would you pull up a box score quickly?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Galen Robinson was on the call. You should have watched.
I would have liked to see, you know, a bigger margin of victory. If we're going to nitpick here.
No such thing as ugly wins.
Did they cover?
No.
No such thing as ugly. I don't know. I don't bet college sports.
They won by 9, so the answer is no.
There's no way they were only favored by 9.
Middle Tennessee State, no. They did not cover. So
They dropped the state, by the way.
They,
yeah, it's like, you know, Facebook when they dropped the V. Sean Parker told Zuckerberg, let's drop the V. Yeah. And they got rid of it. Went from the Facebook to Facebook.
Yeah, Sam Houston also dropped the state.
Yeah, they dropped the state.
But see, their abbreviation on ESPN still has the state.
Yeah, ESPN's not very trustworthy.
I know they're not. We've learned
that.
They
were calling SFA the San Francisco Austins.
That's true.
They
put SF Austin, and SFA people didn't like it because they thought that it looked like S, like for San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
And they wanted them to change it. I don't think they did.
And the last one, just good job, you know, staying out of foul trouble.
Okay.
They only had 11 in the game.
Okay. It's not a bad one.
My three takeaways.
We need Joe's. UH Cougar box score hot take sponsored.
We do. You're right.
We really do.
We need 713-780-3776. If you want to use your marketing budget with us, who was on the call?
Jeremy Branham.
I don't do the TV.
Well, he muted it.
To do TV.
He was watching Ratatouille. He wouldn't know he was on the call.
He goes, "What did he say? He said he watched it."
Yeah. Well,
BS flag. I think he was BSing us there. Was Joe BSing us saying he watched the game yesterday? 713-780-3776. We'll let the junkies.
He did not watch it.
He had
a fantasy championship on the line. He wasn't watching.
You had a fantasy championship on the line with the Monday Night Football? We'll get to that. Let's do that later. Because there was some fantasy title implications yesterday. A bunch of money won yesterday, too. You have all this, the Best Ball Mania on Underdog.
Yeah.
All these other inferior sites. They run their best ball stuff, too. I'm going to try to get the guy who won it on, see if I can get him on.
Okay,
won
I like
$2
million
on Best Ball Mania yesterday.
$2 million?
That's what the winner of Best Ball Mania gets, yeah.
Not as $25 lucky as,
entry, max of 150 entries.
Not as lucky as the guy who won all of the $1.5 billion in Arkansas last week.
Yeah, but after taxes, it's just $890 million.
Just $890.
I saw somebody tweet that the other day. And like I
that
put
person
the,
sucks.
I put in the – well, they're farming engagement.
I know.
But it worked because I put in the comments, I put in quotations, just. And then I had like the anti-tax people like get on me. It's like, well, they're robbing them of $1 billion. I was like, okay, I'm not going to fight this fight. I'm not sophisticated enough to fight that fight. You want to talk sports? We can. You want to talk about tax laws and what the government should take from us? I'm not your guy.
Should there be a flat
I'm
tax?
I'm not fighting
713-780-3776.
That is not a fight that I'm intellectually capable of having, so I'll just tap out when it comes to that. I'll throw in the towel. But Rockets Pacers last night as well. Former Cougar. Can you name the Cougar on the Pacers, Joe?
Yeah, Jairus Walker.
Attaboy. He was, actually, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that. Anyways, the Rockets beat the Pacers yesterday. 7-point victory, kind of misleading. They had a 27-point lead going into the fourth quarter. Pacers outscored the Rockets by 20 in the fourth. Probably a backdoor cover. I don't know what the score or the line was.
It
was
I would imagine.
Probably greater than 7.
Yeah.
So Pacers probably did get a backdoor cover out of this. But hey, like, you degenerates, sorry about it. That was an easy win last night for the Rockets.
Yeah, it was. It was easy. I mean, basically from after the first quarter where the Pacers were shooting the ball really, really well from the three-point line, the second and third quarter were just dominated by the Houston Rockets. You did what you're supposed to do. That's a team that is depleted with injuries in the Pacers. I like your new starting lineup with the Rockets.
Yeah.
But without, you know, Tyrese Halliburton, they're not a real basketball team this year. They're just not. They're going for the number one pick at this point.
I watched the game when I got home. I DVR'd it, and I was doing some work as I watched the game. I thought they were very fair with where the Pacers are. Ackerman used the term, it's a gap year for them, which I think is a great way to look at it. I mean, they don't have their best player. You always hear like high school kids talk about that. Like they graduate high school,
they're going to take a gap year for a year or whatever.
Yeah, which is the weirdest thing. That you have, like, these gap years to me are odd. Like, we didn't have that whenever I was that age.
Yeah, but like, I've heard about them, but I've never met anyone that actually did a gap year. It feels like it's just one of those things people say.
You probably have met somebody that did a gap year. They just don't openly talk about it.
Yeah.
Like in the closet with their gap year.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
That might be the case.
Should I add that to my intern interviews?
Did you
take a gap year?
No. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I don't think it's a negative. Like, I don't really I wouldn't do it because, like, hey, get on with your life.
It depends on what you did with it.
But I mean, if you're spending the year traveling like Europe, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, no,
like, I
kind
of wish I would have done that.
I'm like, man, Call of Duty came out, college football came back. I didn't go to school for a year.
How you spend your gap year matters.
Yes, it does.
If you're doing it like Mapes when he takes a day off to play the opening day of college football,
he didn't do that this year. That was last year.
Yeah, that is a little bit concerning. You know,
don't be hating on people how they use their vacation days.
Well, it's kind of like how they use their gap year. I'm going to judge. I'm sorry. If you spend a gap year like culturing yourself and traveling the world, I tip my cap to you. I'm kind of jealous. I wish I did that. Mm-hmm. If you spend your gap year like you're Kyler Murray, then I have some serious questions.
Yeah, I would too. I would too. If you're like, I just played Call of Duty for 365 days, I'd be like, I hope you're good at it by now.
No, I hope you're not. Like, what a disappointment, unless you're making money off of it somehow by, I guess, streaming and Twitch. Yeah, I think you should add it to your list of things. Have you ever taken a gap year? If so, how did you use your gap year?
Yeah.
I think that would be very helpful.
Okay. I'll add that to my list for next semester.
I really do. The Dunkstronaut logo is my favorite thing the Rockets do, I think.
I do have a take with the Dunkstronaut
logo. They traded for Durant. Yeah. Alpi Şengün's doing great. They locked up Ime Udoka. Things are looking good. Mm-hmm. My favorite thing that's happening with the Houston Rockets is the Dunkstronaut logo.
When it's at home.
Oh, you're saying they shouldn't wear those jerseys?
They've
on the
worn
road.
It twice on the road this year. I don't like it.
That's fair.
I don't like it. I like it with the court. It should be a home jersey.
Okay, I have a hotter take.
You're celebrating Houston.
Yeah, I cash. Cash that trade. That take. I have no issue with that take whatsoever. I think I have a hotter take, though. Okay. That should be the permanent logo. Make that the permanent logo. It's better than the R.
It is better than the R.
The R's antiquated. It's the Yao Ming R. Like it's about time for a little bit of a, you know, what is it, a glam up?
Yep.
It's time for a glam up with the Houston Rockets. Give me the Dunkstronaut. It's better than the R. The R's antiquated.
I think I'd like to keep...
Make the R the secondary logo. Make it the old English, like,
yeah.
H that the Texans have.
Like, give me like a different R with it.
Okay.
Like more aligned with the Dunkstronaut logo.
Not so much like Chinese because of Yao Ming.
Yes. But like, I'm with this. Cash it.
The Dunkstronaut logo is awesome.
It is. It's great.
It's easily the best logo the Rockets have.
It's not even close.
And it's time for a new logo anyways. Just give me Dunkstronaut.
Yeah, it's either that.
You can give me Alpi Şengün flamingo shot.
Nah.
I don't like that. I'm not a big fan of the flamingo.
Nope. That or go back to the 90s jerseys and everything.
Wouldn't mind it.
I feel like it's one or the other.
Wouldn't mind. I don't mind that they went to the R with Yao. The whole color scheme of the blue and the red, whenever Steve Francis came and like Hakeem Olajuwon's last couple of years, they made the move after they went back-to-back titles, by
which
the way.
Which is crazy.
Went back-to-back titles and changed the uniform. And there's like, there's some innuendo on what that Rocket looks like. Like, that's kind of weird, you know? Don't love that.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't mind if they went back to the ketchup and mustards.
No, I'm all in on the ketchup and mustard.
But I'm also all in on the Dunkstronaut.
I like that one as well.
Are better than they are.
As long as we never go back to the City Edition jerseys.
Which ones were those?
That were in Chinese lettering.
I'm okay with not permanent, but I'm okay with like a one-off for those, like for the Lunar New Year.
Yes. But when they're the City Edition jerseys and they would wear them multiple times a year, don't really get it.
Well,
I get it. But you can't call them City Edition jerseys.
No, you can't. You can do like, I'm not going to use that word, but like another country.
Yes.
Another country edition jerseys.
Yeah.
Or you can just call them Yao Ming edition jerseys.
And now
they'd
be Turkish jerseys.
Oh, do they?
No, that's what we get now.
Have you noticed that Turkish sponsor that's on the top of the backboard?
Yeah.
It's like a Turkish like implant place for hair, I think.
We should call them up.
Yeah, we should. Hey, we don't really directly do business with the Rockets, but we're like adjacent.
I mean, I know at least one person that is going to go to Turkey and get the hair done.
Oh, yeah?
And Michael Connor, when he was in for you.
He says he's going to Turkey to do it?
He says he's
going to
go to Turkey and do it.
What's the benefit of doing it in Turkey and not like here?
It's cheaper.
Oh, really?
It's cheaper to fly to Turkey, get it done there, and come back.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to be cheap, though.
Yeah, we need to call them up. Do they want to spend their
money? I don't know. It feels like one of those things where I wouldn't want it to get done cheap because it feels like you're just asking for more trouble down the road.
Yeah. What's the PRP thing?
I think
there's a form of PRP where you can't do in America. So people will travel like different countries to get it done.
Okay.
Like that's what Kobe did with his knee.
Oh, with the platelets?
Is it just PRP? I think PRP might be illegal in America.
Yeah, with like they would get the platelets in their knees, right?
It's something with like the blood regeneration.
The plasma, right?
I don't know if it's the plasma. I don't know, man. I'm not a doctor.
Well, you brought it up?
Yeah, but because I heard Joe Rogan talk about it once.
Oh, okay.
But no, it's something with the blood. Like when they take it out of you and I think it might be PRP. I'm not sure that you can do PRP in America. If it's not PRP, it's something similar to PRP.
Okay.
Anyways, Kevin Durant takeover. Like this gives me the confidence that whenever it's like time for Kevin Durant to take over, not some random regular season game number 24 of the year, Like, and we've talked about that. Like, Kevin Durant was brought here to be the closer. How come he's not closing out these games in the fourth quarter where the Rockets are blowing leads? My take on it is that he wants to, you know, lift all the boats. What is it? High tides lift all boats or whatever? Something like that?
Something like that.
Like, I think Kevin Durant is doing that. I think Kevin Durant, hey, you take over in crunch time. Hey, you take over in crunch time. But whenever it's really crunch time, when these games matter, I'm going to be the dude. And, like, with Alpi not playing yesterday, and I understand that it wasn't crunch time, the game was over after three, like, Kevin Durant just steps up and scores, like, an easy 30 points.
Yeah.
Like, that gives me confidence that when it's go time, Kevin Durant's still going to take the reins.
And I think specifically with Alpi being out, like, that's the guy who's been taking these shots at the end of the games. Like it's not a man. That's not his bag at the end of a game. Like, that's not the guy you're going to throw to at the three-point line that's going to create his own shot. Like, if anything, it's going to only be basically an alley-oop for him or just a one-on-one matchup. Like, it's been going back and forth between KD and Alpi in these situations. So without Alpi, yeah, we saw it last night. And you need that from Kevin Durant, like, down the road. I'm more, like, initially when they were losing those two games, with, like, 2 weeks ago with the ending shots being a disaster with Alpi taking them, I was annoyed at the time. The more I've gotten away from it, the more I'm like, okay, I get it. I get what they're trying to accomplish here.
Yeah.
And we saw it last night. KD.
Yeah. I mean, it's a theory.
He's unstoppable.
It's a working theory, but I think there's something to it.
No, I think, I mean,
there's something to it.
I think it's like, I think most people believe in this theory.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure. I don't keep up with most people.
I think Kevin Durant's even, like, alluded to it a
Yeah, kind of. Like, he's talking about Jabari. Yeah. Like, Jabari's been on a tear lately.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, he's getting guys. He understands what it's going to take to win in the playoffs. He's willing to sacrifice a battle or two in game number 20 of the season, game number 24 of the season, game number 29 of the season. But when the playoffs roll around, the theory is that you lifted all those guys up, and then whenever you need to take over, you can take over.
And
it's my thought anyways.
No, and then if at some point you discover something in the regular season, which is what you're really hoping for, is you know what works of how Alpi can close out a game without Kevin Durant being on his best performance.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking for. I haven't quite found that part yet.
I do want to talk about Alpi. I do want to talk about the injuries with this team. I have a love-hate with Tari Eason, okay. I think, which I think is a good thing. I think it's a positive take. And also, I love the Rockets' attitude towards Ime. Your thoughts as well, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. We'll get to Monday Night Football. We'll get to Don't Ignore in Victory, which you wouldn't defeat. We'll get to Jeremy and Joe's New Year's resolutions. You... For us, how can we be better for you, the junkie, in 2026? Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. On YouTube, ESPN Houston. On TikTok, at ESPN 97.5. Joe's at Joe George Radio there. I'm at Jeremy J. Branham. I had to add the J. On Twitter as well, at ESPN 97.5. Joe at Joe George Radio. Brian at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm the Huntington Bank bad boy. Junkie says, didn't expect to hear you guys. I thought
Junkie?
All the starters were off. It's scrub time until New Year. I wish I could be disappointed in that, but it's not entirely inaccurate. It's a decent take, I hate to say. I got laid off from a job, and they gave me a year's severance, and I spent the entire summer of 2010 watching World Cup matches and absolutely abusing my liver. He had a gap summer, but he got paid while doing it,
yeah,
so I kind of respect it.
That's great.
Yeah. That's pretty nice.
Because you probably lose that severance.
Do you lose the severance if you get another job?
It depends.
Is it like this college coaching language, the offsets?
It probably depends on the job you have.
It's interesting.
So, I mean, if also I'm getting paid for a year, yeah, I'll take the summer to
But
drink
if it. I could get another job and get paid, I would just double dip.
Yeah, I guess it depends on where you're at in life.
No, not to me.
Yeah, like if I was like...
No, it doesn't impact where I'm at in life.
Like if I was like when I got fired from Gal, if they would have given me severance for a year, would I have worked... Maybe.
You're robbing future Joe.
That's true. I
don't think he could take the full year off. Like, I would get nervous around, I think, month eight. Like, let's make sure I have another job with
month
this
year's eight.
Yeah, that's probably.
You're robbing your future self.
I get it. I'd probably, knowing me, I'd probably take half a year and then start looking really hard just because I wouldn't want to run it up against the end of the clock.
Yeah. People in the know say that new uniforms are coming and they may be dunked or not with ketchup and mustard. That would be awesome.
Interesting.
If done right, that would be great.
Yeah. I'm curious what it would look like.
Hopefully it's legit. Yeah, I don't know what it would look like. I'm not really a creative guy. It's stem cell. Stem cell derived therapy. That's not legal here. I knew it was one of them. PRP is legal. Somebody said, yes, it is legal. I've had it twice. But I was thinking of stem cell.
Okay.
Which apparently that like works great.
Because that's what I think Dirk got it too in Germany.
I think that's right.
I think that's where they would all go.
McCaffrey got it too also.
Oh, Christian did?
Yeah, you're right.
I think so.
I think it was like so he didn't tear his Achilles.
I know he definitely went to Germany to get treatment the last time he got hurt.
And that was, wasn't that last year?
Yeah.
Like everybody's like, oh, he's going to be back. He's going to be back. Oh, he's in Germany for medical reasons.
Yeah. And then he played.
And then he was the running back one again.
Yeah.
Weird. The owner of my last job went to Turkey for a hair transplant. He was legitimately like Mr. Clean beforehand. Now he has a full head of hair, says Eric the buyer.
Okay.
See, look, they do it well in Turkey.
But I do. Look, it's you got to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's why I've said, like, Astros, get some of these Japanese players in here. You can make some more money.
Mm.
You already got Dyke and Park, I guess, but like you can make more. That's what the Dodgers are doing. That's what the Rockets are doing. Look at them.
I don't know if the Astros are attracting Japanese viewership because the name of their ballpark is Dyke and Park.
No, they already have Japanese money coming in.
Oh.
Yeah. But you can get more. Just go get one of these guys.
Yeah, it would help, I guess. Appreciate you putting out the show tweet, Brian. I love that you do that for us.
I feel like a nitpick is coming.
Now, how do we feel about it, though? This is the show tweet. It reads, guess who's back? Back again. Mm-hmm. Jeremy and Joe are back. Tell a friend.
A plus.
And then he's got a gif of Eminem. Guess who's back again. A plus?
A plus. I love it. I love Eminem. Great reference. Thank you, Brian.
Is it timely? Joe. Guess who's back again? Like, why are we back again? That's usually something that you would do after a period of time where you haven't been working.
Because we were back yesterday.
Now you're back again.
Yeah, but it's usually one that you wait. Like, that's kind of like an Undertaker, like from the dead.
But by using the word again, it implies that you were already
I see
back.
What you're saying. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Let me give it a 5-2.
9-9.
Grade the show tweet, 713-780-3776.
You get a 5-2 for not sending one at all. Just not sending
one. You get a 0 for not sending them.
What's the difference? They're both failing.
No, 5-2's. That's not a failing grade.
Yes. What do you mean it's not failing? If you got a 52 on a test in school, but that's failing.
That's a 100-point scale. This is a 10-point scale. I understand that you're multiplying
but you
by
scale
10.
It down.
And,
it's the same thing.
You're being nerdy right now. Like that. No. A 1 to 10 is not a school metric by any stretch of the imagination.
Would you consider 5-2 a failing grade?
No. I would never look at a 1 to 10 scale as a failing grade, though.
I think I would.
Yeah, anything below a 60 is failing.
I don't know about that.
Rotten Tomato score. If it goes below 60, you get the rotten.
But that's a 100-point scale.
Yeah, but it's just scaled down.
I've never thought of pass-fail on a 1 to 10 scale. Maybe I'm wrong here. I'm just telling you my feelings.
I don't know if you're wrong, but you're on the outside of this group here. Of this three.
Yeah, but I think I'm not sure I want to be in unison with you guys.
That's fair.
We don't want you either.
Have you ever thought of a 1 to 10 scale
leave it early
as pass-fail? No. Maybe 5 minutes.
Okay.
No, I'm not leaving early. I like how the Rockets are chilling with Alpi Shingun. Like, hey, he's got a calf strain. Like, don't mess with that. Like, it's you've played 30 games. You have 82. You have playoffs. Like, Alpi Shingun, when you're 100%, return to the floor. I don't need you playing on a 90% calf in the end of December.
We have seen a lot of teams in the NBA handle calf strains very differently this year. We saw it happen with AD in Dallas, with Giannis. Like, they're very, I think, aware now that calf injury leads to Achilles tear.
Uh-huh.
So I really like that the Rockets are doing this. You do not need him right now. Take your sweet time whenever you're 100% healthy, then come back on the court.
Yeah.
Take 3 weeks if you need it.
Yeah, take your time. Like, don't rush. Like, people, he might be back on Thursday. Like, okay, if he's 100%, no problem with it. Steven Adams did sprain his ankle in this game. I noticed when he did it. And he still, like, ran up and down the floor a couple of times. Like, he was lumbering. He's a lumbering man. He's a lumbering lumberjack of a man. But he did come up and down the floor a little bit. It was a blowout game. I don't think it's serious, just based on him getting up and down the floor a couple of times.
I believe Ime said he's going to be listed as questionable on Friday.
Okay.
But, no, things can change between there and swelling and everything. But because he was able to get off the ground and move, I'm not concerned.
Oh. No.
But same thing here applies with Alpi is...
Yeah.
Yeah, like it would be nice to have Alpi and Adams in your lineup for Friday's game. Do you need him? Not really right now.
I'm willing to sacrifice.
You paid Capella a good chunk of money. He can start. You'll be bad, but you can start.
No need to rush. Yeah. No need to rush. We don't need to rush this. Like you've played 30 games in the year. You're a playoff team. You don't need them to rush back. He was playing pretty well. He was dominating that little skinny center, Jay Huff.
Yeah.
Like he had like 3 offensive rebounds like in the first 3 minutes of the game. Like he's such a good offensive rebounder. Here's my love hate with Tari Eason. Tari Eason, and I do agree with your take. Like I like the way that the starting five looks with Tari Eason, you know, injected into the starting five. The Rockets injected the starting five with Tari Eason. There's some parts of his game that annoy me. Like I think he can be sometimes low basketball IQ. Mm-hmm. Left the 3-point shooter the other day, 3-point make. Dennis Schroeder hit it. They win the game. Like he's got those brief moments where he kind of has these mental lapses. He's a space cadet every now and then. But at the same time, he does things like nobody else is capable of doing. Really good defensive player. He's a good rebounder. He gets tons of deflections. He's shooting the three ball at like this meteoric rate.
Yep.
So like he has a ton of stuff that I love about him. He has some stuff that kind of annoy me. And then also the injury proneness like annoys me too. I think ultimately the injury proneness is why I think he won't be a Rocket next year.
I agree with that. And it's why it's hard to get overly excited about what we've seen so far. It's just like, when is he going to go out? Like, and I don't know which lineup do you like more? Like what we saw on Christmas Day, where Adams was not in the lineup. Like, is that the starting lineup going forward, or do you like it with Tari on the bench and Adams in there?
I would probably be matchup based, but if just like the average opponent, I'd rather have Adams come off the bench.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the Amin, Durant, Eason, Jabari, Şengün. Like that's it. It's incredibly athletic, incredibly long. I like that five a little bit better. But again, I don't care. Like matchup dependent. You're gonna play matchups. I think the starting fives are highly overrated. Like, cool, that guy's a starting five. Like he's in the starting five, but he's playing 15 minutes a game and your six man's playing 35 minutes a game.
Well, like,
which one's more important?
Yeah, I mean, like on Christmas Day when they started Tari instead of Steven Adams, Tari Eason and Steven Adams both played exactly 26 minutes.
Yeah.
So like it doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter.
But I do think that if it was the average opponent, I like it more with Tari in. They're 3-0 now with him in the starting lineup, right?
Yeah.
So I am curious what it looks like going forward. And I like Adams coming off the bench, except when you're playing a team that's large.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a good addition so far. And thank you, Josh Okogie, for your services as a starter.
I do think that like Tari's a little bit more engaged as a starter, though. Like hate to make my decision based on that. But at the same time, like if it does influence a player's play, you have to be aware of that as a coach. Like Steven Adams doesn't care if he's coming off the bench. Tari clearly cares that he's in the starting five.
Well, he said he's been asking for it after one of the games to be a starter. So
weird.
But you're right though. Like there are certain guys where they're going to be more comfortable coming off the bench, or they just want to be a starter so they can call themselves a starter. I would imagine Tari also wants to be a starter because he's about to be a free agent.
Probably the biggest reason.
And he wants to be able to show, hey, I can fit in your five in New Orleans, you know, next year, and I'm worth a huge chunk of change to leave the Houston Rockets. But if it is better with him in there and it keeps him more engaged, and like that's a huge plus.
Yeah.
At this point.
Rockets locked up Ime, too. This came out. Michael Shapiro had this yesterday. Some quotes from Patrick Fertitta, newest member of the Board of Regents of the University of Houston, by the way. Go Cougs. But the Rockets had locked up Ime Udoka to an $11 million per year contract extension through 2030-31. We knew that he got extended.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've seen the details, though. Maybe I missed it. But $11 million per year through 2030-31. I love it. Like, hey, you have a really good coach. It's your money. Doesn't count against the salary cap. I don't care how you spend your money. I will watch how you spend your money if it's a salary cap league. Even Major League Baseball, not a salary cap league. But Crane operates near the luxury tax. So I will count your dollars whenever you're looking at a payroll for your roster. But when it comes to paying a coach, I don't care how much you're paying the guy. I like Ime Udoka. I think he's very good. Why not pay him a lot of money and keep him here for the long term? He's here forever. I like how the Rockets are handling that.
Well, why would you ever, like, it doesn't feel like there's a path right now to not wanting him as your head coach. Like,
no.
Like he's clearly the best fit for this team right now. Like, unless he starts running your guys into the ground, which he's not going to do. Like, he's not going to go full Tom Thibodeau on you. It's their money. As long as they're okay with the buyout, if they ever need to get out of it, which I don't think they're going to have to, like I don't think this will be his last contract extension with the Rockets.
Do you think he'll be here longer than that?
Yeah,
I would think so. Like, that's a long time from now, though.
I know it is, but like I'm betting on what we've seen from a guy that, you know, takes Boston to the finals and what he's done with this Rockets organization, that the Rockets are one of the best coaches in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
And there's going to be no reason to let him go anywhere anytime soon.
No, I'm with you on that. I like how they're handling it. You have a good thing in place. You want him here. Pay him handsomely. Extend him for a long time. Also, that fan won $25,000 yesterday for hitting a half-court shot.
Oh, nice.
Did you catch that?
I missed that.
He hit $25,000 for hitting a half-court shot. How cool is that? You go to a basketball game and you leave with $25,000?
How many attempts do you think it takes you?
To hit a half-court shot?
Yeah.
I'd like to say it would take me single digits.
I was hoping like under 15.
Yeah.
Because like I know I can get like directionally there.
Yeah.
I can get it on target.
I watch these poor people who do this at times, because I mean, they have contests at these basketball games. I go to a lot of basketball games where people are physically unable to get it there.
Yeah. It's like Phillip Rivers throwing the Hail Mary. You got to take him out.
Physically unable to get it there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's embarrassing.
Yeah. I think the Texans did that with Case Keenum whenever Stroud was hurt a couple
Yeah, they put
years
Davis
ago.
Mills in.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Didn't they? Yeah. I remember that correctly.
Yeah. 100%. They put Davis Mills in to throw the Hail Mary and he got sacked.
I picked up Case Keenum. Almost got sacked. For my fantasy football championship game. I wanted to get him a title. Sadly, I lost.
Signed a one-day to ring.
Honestly,
I did. I dropped my worst player and picked up Case Keenum because I was trying to give him a championship.
For a second, I thought you were about to say you're like in a 18-week league and you're like, just in case Caleb doesn't play.
No. I dropped like my sixth running back for nice. Case Keenum. Trying to bring him home a championship.
Hey, you know what? Try again next year.
I did the same thing a few years ago for Jamal Charles. He was still in the system.
Yeah, he can't read. So that would have meant more to Jamal Charles than it would have Case Keenum. The greatest college football quarterback statistically of all time. Not an opinion, a fact. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's talk about the Monday night game yesterday, Rams-Falcons. Also, I want to hear your horror stories. No one cares about your fantasy football team. We all know that. No, Brian, we don't care that you picked up Case Keenum trying to get him some hardware. I get it. But you know what we do care about? Horror stories. We care about bad beats. What were your fantasy championship bad beats? I saw one ended in a tie. Like I don't even know what happens there as a tiebreaker. But what were those fantasy horror stories? And also, we'll have some takeaways from this Rams-Falcons game. You know who celebrated this Rams-Falcons game yesterday? The Panthers. Bryce Young. Not Baker. Not the Buccaneers. We'll explain why next. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5. Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. Ryan says that 1 to 10 scale is a 5 average. So that's not bad, but also not great. It's a great point. 1 to 10 is what 5 average, whereas a grading scale in the school system, 50 is not your average score.
That'd still be the average.
No, it would not. 50 is not the average. No chance. You were in a classroom of how many kids? Let's say fifth grade.
Yep.
A majority. The average is not 50. There's one or two kids a class that are failing.
It's still on the
average.
No,
it's not.
Scale,
it's the middle of the scale. It's not the average of the scale.
Okay, well, same thing. 1 to 10. 5 is the middle. You don't know that it's the average.
Depending on the grader, yes, it can be average. I grade 3.2s often. I'm not giving out many 32s whenever I'm grading a paper.
I'm kind of coming
around a little bit to Jeremy here.
It's still the same scale. It's just on a different
level. No, it's a different scale. No, we talk about 1 to 10 in a different way.
Yes.
We talk about 0 to 100 100%. Or 8 to
8F. But in the interest of fairness, and I'm nothing but not fair, Eric the Buyer on the text line, Eric the Buyer, one of our favorite junkies. To your point, Brian, if you have a 10-question quiz in school and only get 5 correct answers, did you pass or fail?
You failed.
Okay. So that's the counterpoint to this ongoing debate here. He also said 7.7 for the show tweets. I'm not sure that I trust Eric the Buyer's judgment a whole lot.
I do. I gave it a 9.9, so I'm closer to Eric than you were.
Yeah. Ocho is texting stuff. A fantasy horror story. I lost 5 players from the semifinals to the finals in a super flex. Love, McCarthy, DK, Bowers, and George Kittle lost the championship by 20. That's pretty good. I had Bowers in my my team that reached the finals, and he goes on IR because they're tanking.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Brady. Thanks a lot, Ghost of Al Davis.
It, like, made me...
appreciate it.
Made me want to move up title games.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, we already did that. We're like, when it's
although
like,
their strategy there, Joe. No, their strategy of drafting players that are on contenders.
And it's hard. You can't really move it up. Also, because in week 14, if it was the first round of the playoffs, Drake May was on a bye.
Yeah.
Like you had teams on a bye in week 14.
You can't start the playoffs when there's still byes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You could only do it if you shorten the amount of playoff rounds you have.
I know.
Because you can't start it till week 15 because of the byes, like you said.
But to me, starting week 15 and like now being done by week 17 is perfect for that. That means you can only have four games. Or you have to change to like a tiered system or something like that.
Yeah, but we're getting way out in the weeds here.
I know we are.
Way out in the weeds. That's enough. That's enough. We don't care what you think, Brian. Ryan says in one league.
Joe, why don't you talk for a second?
I was like, wait, Jeremy's here. We can't lose connection like yesterday.
No, he lost connection. It was amazing. He lost connection again. I can't believe what's happening.
Ryan says in one league I played in this season, I finished with the most points in the entire league, but finished in dead last. Not joking. Every single team I played scored their highest point total of the season against
me. That sucks.
I throw the BS flag on that, though.
Yeah.
That you might have, you know, had a high number of points. You might. I believe that you had the highest points allowed. Sounds like you need a little bit of a defense. But I don't believe that you had the highest points in the entire league and finished in dead last. I'm not buying it.
I don't know if I buy it either.
Not buying it.
I don't know if I buy
it. I'm gonna need proof on that, Ryan.
Screenshot.
BS flag. Yeah, that one's... I don't think that's real.
That's why I use wins over median.
I don't know if you know anything about the median, if I'm being honest with you. Average, median, mean. I think you need to go back to school to learn that, actually.
I know Eric DeBuyer, I think, made a good point.
Eric says, we keep records for our fantasy league. This year I had more points scored against me than anyone else in the history of the league. I barely made it into the playoffs. See? That sounds more likely.
But made it into the playoffs.
And then got bounced in the first round after scoring 127.23 points and losing to my friend who scored 134.86.
That sucks. I feel that pain.
I was so here was my dilemma yesterday. I had an 8-point lead going into Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy, Dave, he had Puka. He had Puka, needed 8 points, and like I had a game, so I didn't know what was going on. And then I get in the truck and I turn on the game and it's like, oh, and I looked at the score real quick. And he, like, hadn't done it yet. I was like, that's odd. Like, maybe I have a chance here. And then all of a sudden, late in the game, scores a touchdown. Oh. Just bullet to my head. But I had a Ram stack on my underdog best ball. So it was kind of like, not sure exactly what I'm rooting for. It would have been better if Puka did not score a touchdown for me, though. Bless you.
Sorry. Yeah, I needed Bijan to not do what he did last night.
Oh, okay. He went
off. You were up by 11 with Stafford facing Bijan,
no,
right?
Look, there's a level of karma here. For this championship,
that's not last.
Oh, you got the.
Yeah, he lied. I was successful on my BS challenge. By the way, he didn't have the most points scored against him. He was second most. Uncle Bubble Guts had 1,653.6. He had 100. He had 1,651.4. So he did not have the most points scored against him. So challenge successful there. And then secondly, he sent me the standings after the consolation bracket. No one cares about that. You finished 5-9. There's teams in the proof that you sent me. Megan's been story monstrous. I don't know the rest of that. 3-11. Gabe Horn, 4-10. Ryan, you're wrong. Challenge successful.
Yeah. Challenge very successful on all fronts.
But this championship league, I lost.
I
want to
know more about
night.
This Uncle Bubble Guts guy, though. All right, my bad. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. There was some like real karma that happened to me last night. Remember the Am I the Butthole?
Yeah.
Mike Evans thing?
Uh-huh. I think that sounds worse.
Yep.
Yeah, it does. Just say a-hole.
Am I the a-hole? So
yeah, it sounds worse.
Say what you said is way worse.
If I didn't pick up Mike Evans, I would have won the title.
Karma got you.
Karma got me. Because I would have had Luther Burden in my lineup, and I would have won by 3 points.
Karma got you.
Yeah, karma got me.
There you go. Should have done that.
Yep, should have done it. Lesson learned.
I think this is Julian. Went from 0-5 to the playoffs and lost because I didn't start Lawrence when he scored 40. Bang, bang, Niner gang. Lawrence been on a tear. His lowest point total in the last 3 weeks was actually this past week. But he'd been dominant in the fantasy football playoffs. Where did B-Mac go to school? San Jack. I think he went to Texas Roadhouse University. Hook 'em or something. I think that's what they say there. That's what they say there?
Yeah, hook 'em. They say hook 'em.
That's their fight song?
Yeah, yeah.
They don't know any other words than that.
And then they mix in some things about rolls with cinnamon butter or something. I don't know.
You know who I felt bad for last night? That not all you fantasy football losers. You lost. You're a loser. Second runner, like runner-up, whatever. You're a bridesmaid, not a bride. You know I felt bad for yesterday,
Who's
though?
Who's that?
I felt bad for the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers suddenly could win against the Panthers and not make the playoffs because the Falcons are playing way below their expectations. Mm-hmm. They win games they shouldn't win. They lose games they shouldn't lose. And they could actually force a three-way tie if the Falcons beat the Saints, doable. If the Buccaneers beat the Panthers in Tampa, doable. It's a three-way tie. And Carolina, because they split against Tampa Bay but swept Atlanta, would move on and win the division.
Yep.
What a weird situation. This is why the NFL made that the first game, by the way, Panthers and Buccaneers, because they knew this possibility existed. This is my theory anyways. I haven't heard anybody actually confirm this, but it makes a lot of sense. You play the Panthers-Buccaneers game first because that's when it actually means something.
Yeah.
Because if you were to play the Falcons and the Saints
at the same time.
Even same time would still work, but if you played it before it.
Yeah.
And then, or you know, same time, maybe you see a score, you catch wind of a score, or something like that. Then it ruins all the magnitude of that game.
Yeah.
So it makes perfect sense to lead off your Week 18 slate with Panthers Buccaneers because both teams need to win because you don't know the result of the other game until Sunday.
Well, honestly, I think it also makes now it's in the noon window where there's some other good games, but it also makes if Tampa Bay wins on Saturday, it makes Saints Falcons compelling television. Because it's like you're mm-hmm. like everyone in Carolina and Tampa Bay is going to be watching. Anyone yeah. who's going to match up with the South team,
you got to sweat
in the playoffs. Like you're going to be watching what happens in that game.
You got to sweat.
Now, I think
it's also the least attractive game of the three.
But it could have attraction if it means something.
Yes,
like it would still not be like this huge ratings winner, but it would be more. It would have more ratings if it mattered than if it didn't.
It's the only game.
Not that the NFL's caring too much about that game.
Yeah, but,
it keeps the Panthers-Buccaneers stakes in line.
Yeah, it saves the chance that game becomes meaningless.
Yeah, like the Rams, the Ravens-Steelers, perfect game for Sunday Night Football because nothing before it can influence it.
No, you got to give Lamar as much time as you can to get healthy.
Oh, interesting.
Ooh, conspiracy.
Or yes. T.J. Watt with his kidney. No, I don't think he's going to play. I don't think he's going to play.
It's his lung.
I couldn't remember which one. So I just went with one and said it with conviction.
No, he got stabbed in the lung like Tyrod Taylor did.
Lung, you know. So.
I wonder if he's mad with Pittsburgh.
I would be.
Well, I mean, if he's the one that's doing it, like, hey, guys, give me dry needling, he can't be mad at them because it's happened before and he knows that it's a possibility.
I think I'm still firing the doctor.
Man, I think it's a very common...
It's very common
that if you're doing this dry needling stuff, this is one of the side effects of dry needling, you know? I was watching something on TV the other day where they had like some weird drug and they were talking about all the side effects and they went for like 30 seconds on the side effects. I was like, how good could this drug be if everything gives you side effects? It could cause nausea. It could cause diarrhea. It could cause cancer. It could cause leukemia. Like, it's like, what is this drug?
It could cause blindness.
I saw one yesterday that's meant to clear up your skin. Just like make your, I can't remember exactly what was wrong with skin, but just clear it up. And one of the side effects was suicidal tendencies. It's like, I think I'm going to take my skin night clearing up a little bit over the suicidal tendency.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull it. Next time I see that cut, the commercial, I'm going to pull it. Because it's like, what does this drug do? Does it make you a billionaire? Because I think that's like the only thing that I could get where I'm risking all these other things. Side effect, you might die in 3 years. Cool. What am I receiving here?
Yeah.
What is the trade-off in this?
Nothing good?
No.
There's nothing good? But yeah, like it's this weekend, like that game is now... very interesting on Saturday. It was before last night, but even more so now. The fact that, like, Tampa Bay can win, it doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter. Sorry, Tyler Shuck's going to take care of the Falcons.
Do you see he's the betting favorite to win Rookie of the Year now?
Yeah, cool. I'm in.
That's
he's
amazing.
Awesome. He's awesome.
Tyler, you're using awesome a little bit too leniently.
Tyler Warren's been pretty quiet since the early parts of the season. You haven't had really Travion Henderson has had flashes. Like, there hasn't really – Abuka's been quiet for 2 months now.
Yeah.
I think it was Tet until Shuck took over.
Yeah. Travion, I think, is on the short list. I was looking at the odds where Travion was still high. Tet was high. But, yeah, it's hard to believe that Shuck could be the rookie of the year.
If he has another good game against the Falcons this week, I think he runs away
He
with
didn't
it.
Even start the season.
I know. It was like week
And Rattler
five
wasn't
or
playing
six.
Terribly, you know? Like, Rattler looked like a top 40, 45 quarterback in the world.
I think they're set now. The Saints.
Well, why would you draft quarterbacks?
I would not.
No.
I like what Kellen Moore can coach, man. Mm-hmm. Kellen Moore, he literally had the top offense in the NFL at Dallas. He won a Super Bowl with Philadelphia. Look at the two coordinators that sandwiched Kellen Moore. Probably could have figured out a better way to say that.
Yeah.
But Brian Johnson before Kellen Moore, fire him after a season. Kellen Moore, great offense, win a Super Bowl. He's gone. This new guy that you promote from within, it's like, uh-oh, don't like this guy. Maybe it's not so much the two coordinators that bookended Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore.
I've got Tet as the betting favorite still.
Okay.
On this website, at least. Yeah, at minus 140. And then Shuck at plus 140.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw one where he's like minus 120.
Interesting.
Shuck. I feel like you could play this. No, there's not a way to profit that. Because if you were to play either book at plus 140, you're still going to lose money.
Yeah. But I would just bet on Shuck then, on the one that's plus 140.
Potentially. What did you think of that Puka non-catch?
I mean, I wish it didn't take so long for the replay to get like to the one that shows he clearly dropped it, because it looked incredible.
It did look incredible.
Like, it was incredible. And the first two replays they showed
like
of
Jordan,
it,
kinda.
It was so clear. It looked like it was so clear he caught it.
Yeah.
They finally, when they flipped it to the sideline, you're like, oh, never mind.
I thought it was the right call.
Yeah, it was the right call. He dropped it.
The ball was out of his hand.
Yeah, he dropped it.
It's a heck of an effort.
It was incredible. I'm still not totally sure he didn't just, like, the first time I saw it, I was like, does it just look like he's holding it? Based on, like, the camera angle, like, did he actually have possession of it? But then he did, and he just lost on the way going down. I don't even know what you're reading.
What do you think of the Rams now?
I'm low. I'm much lower on them. But I don't really believe in the Seahawks and Sam Darnold. And do I trust the 49ers defense? I don't know.
I need the Seahawks to win that game for my Seahawks. I think I'm going to hedge it, though. I think I'm going to play San Francisco straight up this weekend.
Okay.
Because that would guarantee me a profit.
Yeah.
For people that don't know, I have Seattle plus 300 to win the NFC West.
So then you're playing...
So I could play San Francisco just straight up money line win, and I could lock in a profit.
Yeah.
Depending on how much I wager, which I'm, you know, I'll do the math and wager correctly.
Yeah, you
I'm
can't
not
do
Brian.
That. You can't do that with Jacksonville. With Ryan.
No, I'm kind of screwed there.
That was a necessary shot.
It felt pretty necessary. And it was pretty relevant still because it's in the same segment. Texans, I need a miracle. I can't really do it with the Texans because it's backwards. Like, the Jags are a 13.5-point favorite. I think they're minus 650 on the money line.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, there's no way I can really hedge the Texans. Because I also have a Texans to win the AFC South ticket at plus 600. Now, I'm going to win one. I've already won the Patriots plus 300. And if I hedge to lock in a profit for the San Francisco-Seattle game, because I have Seattle to win the West, then I'm going to profit for making those three wagers.
So then you're good.
But if I get some miracle on Sunday with the Texans beating the Colts and the Titans beating the Jags, then it was a great trio of bets.
So you double down? And
great trio. What's there to double down, though?
Titans plus 600 money line?
Oh, I see what you're saying. No,
so is that way if you win the Texans bet, you win the Texans and you win the game bet?
No, I just don't think it's going to happen.
I don't either.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not one that I want to double down on.
No, because they're obviously going to play their starters in this game, Jacksonville.
Yeah.
The division's on the line.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Not even a question.
Do you guys think that Tyler Shuck has what it takes to lead the Saints into the playoffs in the years to come? Maybe that division.
Yes, in that division.
Win that division.
Yes, I might bet on them to win the division next year.
I'm going to hold you to that. I'm going to BS flag.
I said might. I didn't say I was going to.
It's a bad division.
Exactly.
I think Bowles is going to get fired. Even if they win the division and lose in the wild card, I think he's going to get fired. There's been too much dissent there. He was calling out Baker. He said quarterback play needs to be better.
Well, and it's like, and now you see what's happening with Liam Cohen, how well it's going, you know, elsewhere. How well it's gone for other Baker Mayfield offensive coordinators.
Dave Canales.
Yeah.
I think he's going to get fired.
Yeah, Todd Bowles feels like he's a goner.
I think he's donezo. I lost by 1.26 in the championship. That's a .08 from Josh Jacobs and a 1 from Tet. Jeez, that's tough. He lost by a point and a quarter, and he took a nothing burger almost from Josh Jacobs and Tet. That's rough.
Especially because Josh Jacobs, it seemed like he was going to just play football.
Although, I mean, we knew that he was pretty banged up.
I know, but they didn't really present
it
that way.
From the injury report.
Yeah.
Did they really?
Yeah.
See, I had Josh Jacobs in my league, but I didn't play him. I never even considered playing him. So maybe that's why I'm so, like, anti-Josh Jacobs that weekend. I didn't realize he got taken off the injury report. I needed the OT with Kyren Williams. That didn't happen. Remedial math lesson for BMAC. 50 is the median or midpoint of the scale. 75 could be the mean or average of all scores. So thank you. You should thank the junkie, Brian.
For what?
For giving you a free math lesson.
It's
maybe he learned you a thing or two.
If you get 5 out of 10 on a test wrong, you still fail.
That's not at all relevant to what that junkie just said.
He's
changing the conversation entirely, Brian.
No, the whole point was 5 out of 10 is failing.
That's
where we started with. You may have moved the goalpost.
I didn't move the goalpost. Never move the goalpost. I wouldn't do such a thing. Did you see the Best Ball Mania winner? His starting lineup?
No.
Because it's best ball, so you have like a 18-man roster.
Probably like Bijan.
Bijan was not. He did a live stream, and he was ducking Bijan. He needed Bijan to he still went off. I guess he needed Bijan to not go off more.
Yeah.
But he was able to avoid Bijan. He didn't have Bijan in his starting lineup. This is a good game. Guess who's in his starting lineup? One quarterback, two running backs, three receivers, and a flex. Okay. And a tight end.
And it's 18 players. But just takes the best one.
Takes the best one for each position.
Luther Burden.
Luther Burden was on his team. He drafted Luther Burden in the 10th round.
Drake May?
Drake May was not on his team.
I'm kind of... Trevor Lawrence?
Trevor Lawrence was not on his team.
Huh. Caleb?
Caleb Williams was not on his team.
Brock Purdy?
Yes. Purdy, 9th round draft pick.
McCaffrey?
No.
Boy. I think we had big games this week.
This is not as fun a game as I thought it would be.
No.
No, it's kind of lost its luster.
Jamar Chase.
No. His first round pick was Amon Ra, okay. Actually. Which he didn't have a huge game, but he did score in his lineup.
Yeah.
He was one of his three receivers.
Don't
look at my computer.
Well, you said it wasn't a fun game. I was going to ask you what the lineup was.
His first round was Amon Ra.
Okay.
Second rounder was Derrick Henry.
Yep.
Oh, Derrick Henry, the 4 touchdowns. That was the miss there. He had JSN in his third rounder, which JSN didn't go off either.
No, he's
but
been
he
quiet.
Did score points for him. Tet gave him nothing in the 4th round. Kittle was his 5th rounder, nothing. Olave was his 6th rounder.
Good.
We had a huge game.
Yep.
Pollard, 7th rounder, nothing burger. Mooney, 8th rounder, nothing burger. Purdy was his 9th. Burden was his 10th. Ramondre Stevenson was his 11th rounder.
Mm.
So, like, good thing that Travion Henderson's been a little banged up. You know, so you get Stevenson back when Henderson got hurt, which probably helped him out in the previous rounds to advance. So Stevenson was his 11th rounder. And then Algier, nothing, 12th. Bryce Young, nothing, 13th. Thielen, nothing, 14th. Shuck, nothing, 15th. But could have played for him.
Yeah.
Juwan Johnson, 16th rounder, was his starting tight end.
Oh.
And then his 17th rounder, Quorum, nothing. Miles Sanders, his 18th rounder, nothing. So he had a Saints stack. He had a Saints stack. It looks like he had a 49ers stack, but Kittle didn't play in it. Because Kittle didn't do anything. He didn't have the Bears stack. He just had a naked Luther Burden. He had a naked Ramondre Stevenson. He had a Saints stack and a 49er stack.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do best ball next year. I've decided.
Oh, I love best balls. I
haven't done it. So I've never done it before.
I'm going to do 1,000 best balls next year. That's my goal.
Do you know how many you did this?
501.
501?
501. Ooh, I'm going to try to get to 1,000.
So when do you start drafts?
They start them like before the Super Bowl. You can start drafting before. This lineup that was won on Underdog, Underdog promo code KILLERB, KILLERB. This lineup that was won was drafted on June 1st.
So post NFL draft.
Yes. They have different contests pre-draft and post-draft.
Gotcha.
So Best Ball Mania won't open up until after the draft, but they do have drafts before the NFL draft.
Yeah.
So you can draft rookies. You just don't know which team they're going to be on.
Yeah, you can draft Jeremiah Love.
Yes. Yes.
But you don't know if he's going to be a chief.
She'll also probably be a high draft pick. But that's also kind of like the fun of it because it's kind of like the stock market.
Yeah.
Like, I really like this prospect, and then you're kind of blind on where they land. But if they land in like this optimal situation, it's like, boom, lotto ticket. Now, Love wouldn't fall into that because Love's going to be high drafted no matter what. Like Ginty was being drafted first round.
Yeah, but he ended up in Vegas. But like Love, with the way that the NFL has played out this year, you're talking about teams like Baltimore and Kansas City.
KC would be unbelievable. Like, why Baltimore?
Well, Derrick Henry's contract is up, isn't it?
Yeah, but he's not going to slide to Baltimore.
I guess because they won. Because last mock I was looking at, they had him still at like 12 or wherever they were locked in before this weekend.
No, best balls are it's my only hobby.
Yeah, I know. Calling games.
I got to go to break.
Sometimes a radio show.
That's work, Joe. I do those things to supplement my best ball hobby.
You do 500 of them. That's work.
I'm going to go 1,000.
You're going 1,000 of them?
I'm going to do 1,000.
That's work.
That's my goal. My New Year's resolution number one, 1,000 best balls. Brian, what's the median of 1,000? Just kidding. Sorry, Brian. I think I've done it too much. Brian's getting mad at me. All right, 713-780-3776. Do not ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. What are you not ignoring from the Texans' victory that you wouldn't in defeat? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. Fast breaks, buzzer beaters, block parties are back, and however you like to get in on the action, you can do it on Underdog right now in Texas. This season, you can make team picks and player picks. Just download the Underdog app, sign up, and you'll get $75 in bonus entries when you make your first $5 fantasy entry. Using Underdog is easy. Just pick whether your favorite team will win or if your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like points, rebounds, steals, and more. Plus, with Underdog's quick payouts, you can get your profits fast. So download the Underdog app today. Use promo code KILLERB, K-I-L-L-E-R-B, to score $75 in bonus entries when you make your first $5 fantasy entry. Player picks, team picks, all on Underdog.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
This is ESPN 97.5.